The Chai FM, Eye on Terrorism, exclusively on Chai FM.
David Harris, a very, very good morning to you. Al-Qaeda, 30 years on. Gosh, they grew up so fast.
Very happy birthday to all the terrorists.
Right, exactly. What does one do as a terrorist to celebrate one's 30th birthday?
It depends on which terrorist organization you belong to, which is actually a serious answer. In the case of Al-Qaeda, they just think, okay, if it takes another 50 years, another 500 years, we'll just keep on celebrating until we eventually create the caliphate throughout the West and have taken over the world. If you're with ISIS, you want to have that big celebration tomorrow. Mm, there's no such thing as waiting.
Right, yeah, and of course, so that's what's interesting to me is because of ISIS, we're almost starting to see Al-Qaeda as the gentle baby brother.
Which is incredibly naive, incredibly short-sighted, which is typical behavior of Western governments, because a government in a democracy comes into power for 3, 4, 5, 6 years, whatever it is, and all they care about is that particular period. And the disciples of the Muslim Brotherhood, which Al-Qaeda most definitely is considered to be, they sit there and they laugh at our Western mentality that thinks that, 3 weeks' time is a long way off. They're in it for the long haul, and they totally take advantage of our naivety on that subject.
All right, so tell us about Al-Qaeda 30 years on.
So first of all, as I said, Al-Qaeda is very much one of the children of the Muslim Brotherhood, along with organizations such as Hamas. They have taken the Muslim Brotherhood idea of gradualism, which is what I was referring to before, that you can wait for 100 years, 1,000 years, and eventually we will be the victors. But the twist that they added was the violence. The Muslim Brotherhood is a very complicated organization, and you can't look at its entirety and explain it all in a couple of sentences. There are different branches of it, different beliefs, whether you're in Egypt, whether you're in Jordan, whether you're part of the political wing, or whether you're one of the more military organizations. There are clear links between the military organizations and those political groupings, which is why we, amongst others, are calling on Western governments to outlaw the Muslim Brotherhood as a whole. But the Al-Qaeda itself has said, okay, we're taking that gradualism and violence, coupling them together, and let's see where we get.
Right. So what does it mean for what can we expect from Al-Qaeda?
Al-Qaeda hasn't gone away, and I would certainly argue that throughout this period, over the last 3-4 years, when all the focus has been on ISIS, Al-Qaeda has remained the big brother, the sensible grown-up, and is the stronger force. Financially, Al-Qaeda is way wealthier than ISIS ever was, 2-3 times the wealth. It has a much broader support in the Islamist world. It is clearly recruiting now from the ranks of ISIS, trying to bring in those people who still want to continue the terror activities, but are somewhat concerned that ISIS is a thing of the past. There have been suggestions at various points that the two organizations would merge. On other occasions, they've argued very much the other way around. Al-Qaeda has restructured itself at the top end. You've still got Ayman al-Zawahiri, who's Osama bin Laden's replacement at the top. But these days, Osama bin Laden's own son, Hamza, is also part of the leadership. They're trying to divide the Al-Qaeda into three units with three different leaders who would form a kind of committee, a top-level committee, who will take this organization forward into the rest of the 21st century. They're being very organized in a far more adult way than ISIS ever did.
What about Al-Shabaab and Boko Haram? Are they part of Al-Qaeda as well?
So In the case of Boko Haram, they are much more in line with Al-Qaeda. In the case of Al-Shabaab, they're more in line with ISIS. Sorry, I've got it the wrong way around. Boko Haram is much more in line with ISIS, and Al-Shabaab is more in line with Al-Qaeda. That having been said, if you remember throughout the, and you hear the confusion in myself, and I'm somebody who's supposed to know these things, over the last 5 years, you will see a lot of these organizations changing names, changing allegiances. And so you've got, an organization like, Al-Qaeda in North America. You've got in North Africa, sorry. You've got an Al-Qaeda organization in Pakistan and Afghanistan. The allegiances seem to change. It's about popularity. It's about where you're going to get more kudos as the representatives of these master organizations. Right now, ISIS remains strong in Libya, but I would argue that in other parts of North Africa, that Al-Qaeda retains the upper arm and has far more influence and control over the Islamist movement.
Is there a difference philosophically between Al-Qaeda and ISIS?
Yeah, I think it's what I was saying before is one is into the gradualism and one
so it's
is
about,
into
it's more of a time based difference.
Yes. Yeah, both want to see the implementation of Sharia law throughout the world. They want to see a caliphate. The original idea of ISIS, as we know, was to start in the Muslim world, where they believe that the level of religiosity amongst your average Muslims is insufficient, and so they wanted to implement that idea in Syria and Iraq, which is where they got their first stranglehold. Al-Qaeda is much less willing to attack Muslims. I think that's also a significant difference. As we've seen, ISIS blowing up mosques and so on, attacking Sunnis, attacking Shiites, making no difference. In fact, there are far, far more Muslim victims of ISIS terror than there are non-Muslims. Al-Qaeda there is a little bit different. They want to attack the infidels, the non-believers, and so on. That's also a difference.
And are we seeing Al-Qaeda being very active at the moment? You know, ISIS, from time to time, we hear about a bicycle attack in one. You know, we're hearing these things, but Al-Qaeda, I'm not sure how much we are hearing. Or certainly, I don't think I'm hearing too much.
There are Al-Qaeda attacks. There are Al-Qaeda-inspired attacks. But I think on the top level, Al-Qaeda has been very happy to let ISIS run and burn and carry that sort of flag, whilst quietly Al-Qaeda's been able to regroup, reorganize itself. It went through a bit of a dip after the demise of Osama bin Laden. It's been able to reorganize, and I think we'll be hearing a lot more from Al-Qaeda over the next 10 to 20 years. And I think it's very tragic, especially in America, where 9/11 happened and obviously was carried out by Al-Qaeda, that the name has almost disappeared from the lexicon. And it's one of the things that the Clarion Project we try to do is to really push this idea that the big power, the real power, is Al-Qaeda, and it is a Muslim Brotherhood offshoot, and the Muslim Brotherhood is phenomenally strong internationally on the political side of things, with hundreds of millions of dollars at its disposal, and that is certainly cause for concern.
Is Donald Trump more focused on Al-Qaeda than Obama was?
Yeah, yes, I think that's probably fair enough if you're looking at the latter part of Obama's time in office. Don't forget, when Obama first took over, there was a big focus on Al-Qaeda, in part because Obama was trying to move 180 degrees away from where George Bush was, because, of course, it was Bush who took on Al-Qaeda previously. But it was definitely in the minds of the Obama administration, but certainly it's not being ignored by Trump. And I can tell you that the FBI's investigations predominantly focus on both, in terms of the Islamist world, focus on both ISIS and Al-Qaeda, and they have little time for anything else.
Absolutely fascinating. David Harris, Clarion Project. I do recommend that you go and look at their website, follow them on Twitter. It's they do absolutely incredible, incredible work. Thank you for taking the time, as always, on a Monday to speak to us.